perfumer's collection. Amongst the objects of our daily lives, perfume is most likely one of the most ancestral. Its history started in the antiquity and continues today. In this room, you can see the story of perfume unroll in front of you. Throughout history, perfume had many functions, the three main ones being to honor the gods, fight diseases, and seduce. This is what we commonly call the three C's rule: cult, cure, and charm. When recounting the story of perfume, we can start with the Egyptians. They are the first perfumers, and not only did they wear makeup, but perfume was also part of their daily lives. They wore it in the shape of a little cone of perfumed fat or wax that they put on their heads, and that would slowly melt in the sun and perfume their hair or wigs. Perfume was also used for religious purposes. The three ointment flasks that you can see at number 3, 4, and 5 contain balms and unguents used for mummification. All three needed to be used together, or else the person being embalmed couldn't pass on to the spirit realm. Through the Mediterranean Sea, the Greeks discover perfume in Egypt. As great tradesmen, they bring it back home, and their love for beautiful and well-groomed bodies makes perfume very popular in their culture. They used a different fragrance for each part of the body and slathered themselves in perfumed oils after bathing or for special events. The Greeks would keep their perfume in terracotta containers, like the Ereboloi at number 8 and the Alabaster at number 6. But terracotta being porous, it would absorb the liquid and the scent. So when the Romans finally mastered glassblowing, they started to store their perfumed oils in glass bottles immediately. You can admire some to the right of the showcase, and you can take time to look at number 12, that is adorned with a depiction of Janus, the two-faced god. We are now ready to move to the next showcase on the right. In the Middle Ages, people started to use perfume to protect themselves from disease, as they thought plagues could be transmitted through bad smells. The nobility carried pomanders, also called apple of amber, like objects number 8 and 9, for example, filled with solid essences. This was not just a way to repel diseases, but also to express one's wealth, as most pomanders were made of precious materials, such as silver or gold. By the Renaissance, though, people in Europe have stopped using water in their hygiene routines. First, because the church discourages going to public baths that were deemed indecent. Second, because doctors thought water transmitted diseases through pores. Therefore, people started to use perfume or alcohol on a piece of fabric and rubbed it on their skin to clean themselves. Alcohol-based perfume was then born. The first one was created in 1370 for the Queen of Hungary. According to the legend, it was gifted to her at the age of 72. After using it thoroughly, she regained the health, fitness, and beauty from her 20s. You can now move to your right to the next showcase. In the 18th century, liquid perfume triumphs, and it is carried everywhere by the nobles and the bourgeoisie. The bottles exhibited in this showcase reflect the fashion for perfume bottles during that period. These bottles are real jewels, as refinement was brought to its height. They are treasures of crystal, porcelain, and gold. Some of them even carry secret messages. Will you be able to find them? You can discover one on object number 9. This bottle made in England out of crystal, gold, and stones has the following inscriptions: "A vous seul" around its base, or "Yours alone." It should also be mentioned that at this time, hygiene remained minimal. For the record, at the court of Louis XIV, we only washed a few times a month or a year for fear of disease. Indeed, the story says that the Roi Soleil, or Sun King, would have washed only 5 times in 71 years of life. Now come closer to the potpourri display case. In the 18th century, this refined object was found in homes. Very fashionable at the time, any distinguished person had to have it to perfume their interior. Potpourri, or rotten pots, is a mixture of dried plants and flowers chosen for their scent and aromas. This mixture would be placed in the pot you can see here. Small circular openings are present on the lid or in the neck and would allow smells to escape. Here, our pot is made of porcelain, but it could be made from different materials. Continuing to your right, you will be able to admire the toiletries and virtue objects in the next window. These small but luxurious boxes, made from precious materials, contained all sorts of small beauty-related objects. Fragonard offers you to discover the very secret interior of these boxes. Look at object number 2. It is a pocket nécessaire made in galucha or fish leather, cut crystal, and gold. It holds 2 crystal bottles, an ivory tablet, a box of flies, a pencil, an ear pick, tongue cleaner, and a folding golden pocket knife. In this showcase, you will find other beauty objects such as perfume boxes, makeup and lipstick boxes, makeup mortars, ointment pots, etc. Let's dwell for a moment on the flies, or mouches. Perhaps you have already heard of them. The object presented here at number 6 is a boîte à mouches, or box of flies, which contains not actual flies, of course, but pieces of taffeta or black velvet soaked in perfume. They were placed on the face like beauty spots to highlight the whiteness of the complexion and camouflage imperfections due, for example, to smallpox. Subsequently, they would be used to give indications on the mood of their wearers. Thus, a fly at the corner of the eye indicated a passionate personality, above the lips a coquette one, on the chin a discreet one, and on the chest a generous one. Let's now look at the next showcase. In the 19th century, with the rise of the bourgeoisie, perfume becomes more widely used. The upper class attends balls, receptions, theaters, operas, and wears refined fragrances expressing their wealth. Even the emperor has perfumes composed for his mistresses by the greatest perfumers. People wear perfume like a jewel, the bottle acting as a showcase. Note the refinement and originality of bottle number 9 in the shape of a swan's head, bottle number 11 in the shape of a ring. At number 8, another noteworthy bottle. It was made for the Atelier Fabergé, usually known for its eggs. It is a delicate work of 2 tones of gold, white enamel and rose quartz. Look how beautiful it is. Further to your right, you will discover the bottles from the 20th century. At the beginning of the 20th century, thanks to the Industrial Revolution and the invention of synthetic notes, perfume becomes a more common good, and therefore an everyday ritual. To seduce their new customers, perfumers call on the know-how of master crystal makers. As you can see, many of the bottles displayed here were made by René Lalique, one of the greatest master glassmakers of his time. This is also the time when designers start to get in the game, like Dior with Diorling at number 16, or Elsa Schiaparelli with the perfumes Sleeping and Shocking at 17th and 18th. Finally, let's end our journey through time and the history of perfume looking at the second to last showcase to your left. It contains a bottle of Belle de Nuit, Fragonard's most emblematic fragrance. Created in 1946 and still one of our bestsellers to this day, we will be happy to help you smell it at the end of the visit, and you can judge its incredible timelessness. Let's now go to the next room. Don't forget to scan the QR code to discover the manufacturing secrets.